Read the first part of the chapter last week, the scripture about Jesus overcoming this world. We talked about that for a while last week. And this week we're going to talk about the next section. We've often mentioned that in 1 John, it's a book that's a lot of the theme of 1 John is reassurance, reassuring us of who Jesus is, what he's done for us, the things he has told us, the implications of it. And we're come to, he talks about a theme he talks about this week, testimony about God, God's testimony, the testimony he has left us, the testimony about the things God has done. It talks about three things that testify for God, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Other thing we talked about in 1 John that we see often, how everything and our relationship with God fits together. In the same way, the reasons God has given us to believe in him, those things also fit together. We're going to see that in a short while. There are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and those three are in agreement. They're all the same thing. Always tell us the same thing. So Leon is going to go ahead and lead us in a short time of prayer, and then we'll proceed. Thank you, Leon. Go ahead and turn over to 1 John 5. We're going to read last week's scripture, then we'll proceed with the new reading for this week. I did want to mention, we gave out the surveys last week. If you still have one, you can hand it in. I hope to have some details this week. Ran into some snags when we were discussing them, so I have to iron some things out before we can come back to you with some details on upcoming classes. But thank you for those who were able to share their thoughts with me. Let's read the scripture we read last week too. Doc, can you read the first five verses of 1 John 5? And Norma, can you read from verses 6 through 12?
Children of God by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. But everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has all overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God.
This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water alone, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which has given us about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony that God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life.
Thank you. These things tie together some of the things we've seen previously in 1 John. We talked about last week how Jesus has overcome this world, and he gives us the same victory we couldn't have won on our own. And it also leads into the discussion the testimony God had left us. There's three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. So let's take a quick recap of what we studied last week. We talked about last week the three things he ties together: belief, love, and following God's words. These strings tie together. Often see this, of course, in 1 John, how everything in our relationship with God fits together. Believing in God, everyone who believes that Jesus is a Christ is born of God. Everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. Then in verse 2, it says he also loves something else. If we believe in God, that implies we love him. We believe in God, it implies we love his children. We love Jesus, we love God's children. We have to learn what that means. What he's saying, these things should naturally fit together. What's the next thing he says, in addition to this is how we know we love the children of God, by loving God and doing what else? Carrying out his commands. And he says a curious thing about God's commands. In fact, this is love for God to keep his commands. And his commands are pretty burdensome.
No.
Explain that. Why would it say God's commands are not burdensome? We talked about this last week. Let's see if we can remember some of the things we talked about last week or have some new ideas. How can we say God's commands are not burdensome? Good, I stumped someone. Go ahead.
I was thinking the Spirit enables us kind of live in this world and obey God's commands.
That certainly should be a part of it, is learning to let the Spirit help us to do these commands.
Outside.
Yeah, that should be part of it, as we often remind ourselves in Galatians 5, keep in step with the Spirit. And what other ways are these commands not burdensome? That could add another burden, because we have to be yoked with Christ. Sounds a little imposition.
He's stronger than any of us.
She's just going to yank us around, Lanya.
We're just
yank us wherever he wants to go, whether we like it or not. Whether we like it or not.
Beside him, not.
Good, Nancy.
I think the real burden is not doing his will because of what it does to us. Every part of us are physical, mental, spiritual, just being out of his will.
That's a
real burden.
That's a good point, because it's more of a burden to disobey God's commands than it is to follow them. Very, very good concept, and we'll come back to that a little while. David?
I was thinking about in John 15, 9 through like 23 or 24, but it talks about the same thing. And a father wants us to have his love in him and his joy in us. And he gives us that. And so we miss out on love and joy from the Father by not obeying. He doesn't love us any less, but we just miss out on, you know, I heard a lesson about this, and it's like there's a valve. And so you shut the valve off by disobeying. You keep the valve is wide open when you obey, and you get love and joy of God in abundance.
It fits in with what Nancy was saying. It's a difficult thing to put in human words. I think you see this coming, the way people are kind of grasping, how can we express this? It's hard to explain in human words, and it should be that way. It's telling us the connection between ourselves and the Spirit and Jesus is something that transcends the things we see outwardly. Go ahead, Mike.
I was just thinking that laws, you have two laws, two commandments, love God and your neighbor as yourself, as opposed to say the 10 or the 600 and some odd. But the difference is that a law, once you break one, you're dead and gone. You know, a law is burdensome because you have to keep them all perfectly. System does not demand perfection. It demands substitution. God, don't look at me. Look at Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's a much, much less rigid standard.
Yeah, that relieves us the burden. Dragging around hundreds of laws is a burden. It's especially a burden to our spirit, even more so than our flesh. That gives us relief from that burden. Just look at Jesus. He'll take care of things. Go ahead, Don.
I, for whatever reason, at times feel like God's commands are burdensome, and when I read this, I think, okay, I have some growing to do in some areas. My understanding, my attitude toward God, probably some other things as well.
Yeah, it shouldn't bother us. It does seem burdensome to the flesh. Can burden our flesh sometimes. Our flesh has to overcome these things. But the spirit is already willing to go along with God tells us. Tanya?
I guess I think of them as burdensome when I look at what I can do instead of what God has already done.
Yeah.
So it's whatever my perspective is as far as when God says his commands.
Yeah. If you look at it, I have to do these things, all of a sudden you're putting the focus on myself. I have to do these things. It's about me. Put it on God. As Tanya said, look at what God has done. All of a sudden, not so burdensome, because as we often remind ourselves, just ask us, love him and love your neighbor. That's all we ask of us. Warren?
His commands are to do what is good and what is right, and his intentions are well for you, not evil, that if you do what he says. If you do something opposite, it's just going to hurt you, so it's not him.
Sure, as we read in often the Bible, especially in Isaiah 48, my laws are good for you. I lead you on paths are good for you. They give you peace that endures, peace that flows like a river, the peace that comes from walking in step with God. And so how we relieve ourselves of these apparent burdens. So very good thoughts. Coming back to our recap then, so it goes on to say we could overcome by being born of God. Uses that phrase a number of times in 1 John. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. That idea of overcoming the world. You think of that, numerous images can explain what he means by that. Waking up, arising, being lifted up out of the dust, awakening our spirits. Many images we see that reminds us about that. Don't have time to read these scriptures in Isaiah, but Isaiah 52 tells us, arise, shake off your dust, because I'm going to redeem you without money. As was just pointed out, it's not about the things we have to do, but the things God has done, much less burdensome. He says, who is it that overcomes the world? Only one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And in Isaiah 25, it talks about how God has removed the world's shroud, its veils, its clouds. We trusted in God and he saved us. He's our salvation. Our salvation is not in our own worth, our own righteousness. It's in God's righteousness, his faithfulness to us. So good thoughts on that. We're going to go ahead and continue for our new scripture today. Let's reread the first part of the scripture. Read verses 6 through 9. Isaac, can you reread verses 6 through 9 from 1 John 5 for us?
This is he who came by the water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witnesses in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witnesses on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son.
Thank you. Let's do what we often have done in 1 John. Just notice the words that come up in this scripture. A number of them we see. There's some easy ones this time. Easy words to pick out this time, so get your credit first before someone takes them. What words come up in this scripture?
Water.
Water is very evident in this scripture.
Blood.
You're going to take them all. That's good. You get. No one else wants to speak up.
Testify.
Testify.
Witness.
Yeah, testify and witness, they do fit together.
Spirit?
Spirit is, of course, the third very noticeable one. Let's see if there's anything else. One actually mentions one word, only comes up once, but a strong word at the end of verse 7.
Agreement.
You have testimony. What do you hope the testimony will do? Yeah, don't want to contradict. Don't want to disagree with itself. Want to be able to in harmony with each other.
I would say bear witness about Jesus.
It should say the same thing. Everything God has given us to testify to who He is should lead us to Jesus. And this is what he says. So, as we so often notice in 1 John, everything in our relationship with God fits together. So also, the reasons He's given us, the testimony He's given us, those things are also in agreement. They also fit together. They'll always say the same basic truths about who God is. And as we were just talking about, His commands are not burdensome. If God's commands seem burdensome, and He says they're not burdensome, actually what He's reminding us, take a closer look at what you think His commands were. Take a closer look. What does He mean by commands? Come back to the simple truths. All He said is, love God, love your brother and sister, and learn what that means. That's not so burdensome when you put it in perspective. So now we're going to talk about these three witnesses, these three testimonies. He says, this is the one who came by water and blood. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. We see these three things. It says they all are in agreement. They all fit together. They all testify to who God is. He is God's witnesses. This is the basic thing we're going to explore a little bit today. It says the one who came by water. Water, of course, is one of the images we see very, very often in the scriptures. It can mean many different things. Number of ways it can be interpreted, but the basic idea of water. Well, take a guess at it. Just what comes to mind when you hear the word water? That actually is true, biologically true. The water and blood comes out when you give birth. The two prominent ways it's used in Scripture is baptism and what else?
Cleansing
and baptism. Of course, that fits right together. Yeah, the water is closely associated with the Spirit. These things all fit together. We see that used often in Scripture to describe this image of water. What about blood? What does blood stand for in Scripture?
Crucifixion.
Of course, strongly associated with the cross. Yeah, you have to get many different ways to describe atonement in the Old Testament, forgiveness, and you can say cleansing, sanctification, all those things that come from it. All those things. It's associated with forgiveness.
It says that the life is in the blood.
Yeah.
Leviticus says life is in the blood.
Yeah. And in Hebrews 9 tells us, without what? There's no forgiveness or sins. Have to be shedding of blood. And because for the rare reason, we just pointed out, the life is in the blood. It's an image of life and blood. So these are things he's talking about. So he's talking about Jesus came not only by one of these, but by all three. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. Let's look at a couple of other scriptures that help us understand this image a little deeper. Turn to John chapter 1. And then in the meantime, Tanya, can you cue up Hebrews 9, verses 13 and 14? We'll come there in a short while. I'm going to read how Jesus came by water in John 1. Jenny, can you read this, 29 to 34?
The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave his testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God."
Thank you. This talks about the things John said when he's about to baptize Jesus. It tells us, this is how I know this is the one God has chosen. Now I'm certain this is the one that God has chosen. This is the one that the Spirit came down on, and it remained. He's the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. This is John's testimony made more full by the water. Jesus came by the water. There's a couple of things about this scripture. He uses two animal images with his baptism.
The dove.
The dove. Dove. What other images do you use?
Lamb.
Think about these two animal images. They connect the water. Both of them connect the water with different things. What does the dove connect with over here? The Spirit. The Spirit came down on Jesus as a dove. Jesus descended on his shoulders, rested peacefully as a dove. There's a scripture in Isaiah 11 we frequently read, so we won't turn over there. I know you each read it in your spare time. It talks about the Spirit rested on his shoulders. The Spirit rested on him, full of understanding, full of knowledge, all those things Jesus came with. What does lamb connect with over here? Blood. Sacrificial lamb, Passover lamb, the Lamb of God, connects these three images in this baptism. So he didn't come just by the water, but he came by the Spirit and came by the blood. Let's turn over to Hebrews 9. Tani, can you read that for us now? Thank you. This scripture ties together the same things we're talking about today, also connects it with some of the previous things we discussed. It says, in the Old Covenant, how do they cleanse and sanctify people? What do they use? Use lots of blood, and what else? Not mentioned in Hebrews 9, but they use one other thing, water, blood and water. This is how they cleanse themselves, how they sanctify themselves in the Old Covenant. This served its purpose, limited purpose, but it met what is expected of it. In verse 14, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God. It says, once again, he connects blood, Spirit, and water together. And it says something, connects back with what we were just talking about.